together to fight for what we love.
And a significant amount of privilege and power over other groups.
You're listening to
Consider the Alternative.
Consider the Alternative.
Consider the Alternative.
Consider the Alternative.
A CITR podcast.
Thank you for the council for allowing me to speak. I'm just going to tell you a little bit about how this has made my husband and I feel. We were served the runaway eviction notice on December 27th, and as John had mentioned, it was terrible. Coming right out of Christmas, going into the new year, thinking, knowing that we were being evicted and that we had to move, and we only had four months to do so. The issue that I'm having is, right now, we probably have about five suites in our building that are empty. If these renovations are going to be done, then why can they not be done now and allow us that are still there and fighting this, once those are renovated, to move into those renovated suites? I don't understand why we have to leave the home that my husband and I have lived in for 6 years. The landlord had, I believe, misrepresented himself in making a lot of us believe that he was the property management when, in fact, he was the owner, giving us false hopes as he was text messaging me, emailing me to help us out, apartments that he had found on Craigslist, which I then later found out they were his buildings, for more money. The apartment that we did see was horrendous. I had asked him if he had been in our apartment. He had seen how we lived, and he wanted to show us this for $400 more. I don't believe a word that is coming out of this man's mouth. I don't believe that anything is going to, or the extent of the renovations are going to be done to the matter that we do all have to leave. I believe that these things can be done with tenants still living in their apartments. And I just hope that you can help us. It's very difficult. There's so many people in there, elderly people, disabled people, that now have nowhere to go, that are looking for places to go.
That was a tenant named Angela Meredith, who spoke in front of the New West City Council on Monday, February 4th. Following an emotional public hearing where renters and renter activists spoke out about a variety of fears and anxieties related to being a renter, New West City Council voted unanimously to pass a new bylaw. This new bylaw, which has been praised as the most progressive renter protection motion in BC, stops landlords from evicting tenants for the purpose of renovation and then increasing the rent once a new tenant moves in. According to the new bylaw, landlords who are caught continuing to use rent eviction strategies as a way of increasing profit by raising the rent an unreasonable amount could be fined up to $1,000 a day and could lose their business licenses. CITR News Collective member Joshua Azizi reached New West City Councillor Jamie McAvoy to discuss the importance of this bylaw and why it's the next best thing to vacancy control. Take a listen.
Hi, is this Jamie?
Yeah, hi.
Thank you for your time. So can you kind of start out by telling our listeners who you are?
My name is Jamie McAvoy. I'm a city councillor in New Westminster, where I'm also a co-chair of the Social Issues Committee and a member of the Mayor's Task Force on Housing.
All right. And so can you take me through how New Westminster has been affected by rent evictions in the past few years?
Well, in the past few years is a good way to put it. This is something that used to happen maybe once a year. Now it's more like a few times a month that people are buying an apartment looking to do this. So we've had, I'm not sure the time frame, but we've had about 369 units that have been rent evicted. And, you know, on average, those are a couple of people in a unit, so that's a lot of people.
And so there was a new bylaw passed by New West City Council on Monday, which allows the city to penalize landlords who rent evict tenants. Can you tell me how that bylaw works?
Yep, the bylaw was adopted as well as a rental program. So the way the bylaw works is that there's certain things set out where a landlord can be fined by the city if they rent evict. And if they don't follow the rules of the Residential Tenancy Act. So there is provision in there for fines for failing to give people adequate notice. There's also provision in there for a fine for excessive increase of rent.
And so let's say there's a landlord who, despite these new rules, tries to rent evict someone anyways. This landlord would be faced with fines?
Well, if the landlord rent evicts without getting a building permit, then they're violating someone's rights under the Residential Tenancy Act, and they would be violating our bylaw, and they would get fined. If they needed a building permit, then they would have to come to the City of New Westminster, where we now have a policy that says you don't rent evict people if you need to do renovations. You would have to prove to us that the eviction was necessary in order to do the renovation. And given that most renovations are things like painting and countertop, but even some renovations that might involve plumbing, for example, we did a review where we looked at, do people move for other types of building permit? If people renovate a condo or a house, and we found that people almost never have to move in those circumstances, right? So, but if a landlord would have to come and get their building permit, and they'd have to prove to us that an eviction was necessary, if they went ahead with an eviction without that, they would be fined. And if they evicted people to dramatically increase the rent on the unit, they would be fined.
And so under what conditions would it be acceptable for a landlord to temporarily evict a tenant for renovations?
That's something that we're still going to have to explore, but we're putting the burden on the landlord to provide that proof. The burden isn't on the tenant as it is provincially.
And would there be any provisions for renters who are temporarily evicted?
Yes, we want tenants to have the right of return.
Can you just tell me, just for our listeners, what the right of return is?
The right of return is if you have to move out because the renovations are such that the suite does have to be empty, you should have the right to return back to that suite if you want to. And a part of what we did here was we've introduced business licensing for landlords, right? I mean, it is a business. We all know it's a business, right? It's kind of bizarre that all around the world, you don't have business licenses for owning rental property. So when you have a business license, then the city is able to put conditions on that business license. And if a landlord was violating those conditions, we'd have to consider pulling their license, pulling their right to rent property as residentially.
And so from what I understand, the two possible punishments could be a fine or losing their business license. Under what situations would a landlord actually lose his or her business license in contrast to just getting a fine?
Yeah, that's something we're still going to have to explore.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so even if these future evictions happen, the landlords are not allowed to increase the rent, correct?
They're allowed to increase the rent, but they can't, you know, double the rent. They can't raise it 75%. They can't do the kind of thing they're doing now.
Is there a set margin that they can increase it by?
No.
Okay.
No, we have not defined excessive yet. But I want to say something about that because we had a landlord come who complained about the 2% increase in rent that he's allowed and that he argued this doesn't keep up with inflation, right? Every time a unit is empty of a tenant, the landlord can increase the rent all they want. That's illegal, right? What we're targeting is evicting the tenant to do it. But when people try to represent this as a business that's somehow suffering under rent control, rent control is 2% last year, but the actual increase in rents went up 6.98%. Last week was 6.2% this year. It was 5.98% last year. And that's because if a place becomes empty voluntarily, a tenant moves out, the landlord can increase that rent to market rates. So they have a pretty good mechanism already, right? They have a pretty good mechanism already for renovating 50% turnover in 3 years. Every time someone moves out of an apartment, that's when you can put in your new counter, right? So The rent increases where people are seeing rent doubled from $800 to $1,600, that's just not on.
Thank you for sharing that. And another thing that I wanted to ask about was the public hearing on Monday,
mm-hmm.
where a lot of rental advocates came out to tell their stories, as well mm-hmm. as tenants coming to tell their stories. What was it like to sit through that public hearing and hear all those personal testimonies?
Oh, it was painful. You know, I mean, the people in this town, I'm not just a politician. They're, people are my friends, my own relatives who are renters, right? It's painful to sit through those stories. And I mean, there is a woman who didn't come to the public hearing, who lost an $800 a month place, went to a $1,200 a month place. Her income is $1,300 a month. What do you do with that other $100? Will that feed you? You won't be taking any bus rides. You won't be buying presents for her grandchildren, you know. And who evicts an 83-year-old? Because they want to make more money off of her suite. So, you know, these kinds of things, it needs to be dealt with. And we're doing this to try to deal with it in New Westminster. And we really need the province to step up on this issue. And we need the federal government to get into housing again.
And how much of a role did these testimonies and the work of renters' rights advocates play in convincing council to pass these laws?
Oh, I think they played a huge role, not just at the public hearing, but the tenants have been getting more and more organized in Vancouver. There's a New Westminster Tenants Union that didn't exist even a couple of years ago. ACORN has held demonstrations outside of buildings that have been rent evicted. So I think they've done fantastic work to put this issue on the radar and make sure that we know about it.
And were you at all surprised by the result that came out of council?
No, I was not surprised. The only thing that surprised me was that the public hearing was overwhelmingly in support of this bylaw. I thought there might be some opposition to it. We had some opposition expressing concern from Landlords BC, for example, but the only landlord who spoke, he said there's no good reason to double the rent. He's never had a good reason to double the rent, and he wouldn't do that. So the only landlord who spoke in favor.
And I actually wanted to, you were talking about the province about a minute or so ago. I kind of wanted to circle back to that. So the bylaw that was just passed was celebrated by renters and renter advocacy groups alike. And it's pretty clearly like a win for tenants. But something that I noticed was that it didn't include any calls for the provincial government to implement any vacancy control, which would tie the rent of the unit to the unit rather than the renter. So I'm just wondering, why wasn't vacancy control a part of this bylaw?
Well, we don't have the jurisdiction in that area, but we have previously called for vacancy control, and we took a motion to the UBCM on that issue, and that's our position as a city.
Because I was just looking at the rent-eviction-related motions that the Vancouver City Council passed, and there was one that it was tabled by Jean Swanson. She mm-hmm. asked the council to basically demand the province to implement vacancy control. Why wasn't something like this included in the bylaws?
Well, the bylaws are our legal mechanism to enforce fines and business licenses, but mm-hmm. but we've already called for vacancy control previously.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And yet the province still hasn't made any action on that. Why do you think vacancy control hasn't happened yet?
Well, I think that there's tremendous resistance to that on the part of landlords. I think that up until recently, landlords have been more organized than tenants. So that seems to be starting to shift, and every single tenant who gets involved or joins an organization is helping with that shift. But I'll admit to being somewhat flustered and frustrated about it, too. We are going to send the recording of the public hearing. We're going to send that to provincial officials and ask them to watch it.
And so is this bylaw kind of like the next best thing, if getting vacancy control just seems too out of reach at the moment?
It's as close as we thought we could get within the powers that we're allowed to use.
And so, correct me if I'm wrong, but is New Westminster the first city to pass bylaws such as these?
We think so. There was a reporter from another outlet who looked into it, and she thought that in Ontario there was some good rent eviction protection. But for a city to do it, really, I think we are the first.
And why do you think these rent eviction protections passed first in New West rather than, say, in Burnaby or Vancouver?
Well, we're pretty committed to people's rights in New Westminster, social and economic justice, and we have a very strong city council that cares about people, every member of council, and half of our population is renters in New Westminster. We have a much larger proportion of renters than most cities do. So it's really something that's on our consciousness as we govern the city.
And do you think these new bylaws could have an influence on other municipalities who are dealing with issues of rent eviction?
I sure hope so.
And that's actually the last of the questions that I had. Is there kind of anything else that you wanted to mention before we go?
I think that a lot of cities will look at what we've done, and I would leave it to them to say who they are, but I've had inquiries from other cities and other city councillors already. In fact, I'm meeting with a couple on Friday, and so there's a lot of interest in what we did here in New Westminster. People have felt really helpless on the issue of rent evictions because provincially we're not allowed to refuse the building permits. That's the law, and municipalities are operated only within the powers the province gives us. So people cared about the issue, but were very frustrated and felt like they couldn't do anything. And we started to have a discussion after the election here in New Westminster where we just said, is that true? Let's review all of our powers and see if we have anything that can apply. And what we came up with was business licensing, and it can be done anywhere.
You actually mentioned that you were meeting with city councillors from other cities.
Mm-hmm.
Which councillors are you meeting with from which cities?
I would leave it to them to tell you that.
Okay. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you.
Have a great day.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. This interview was conducted by Joshua Azizi, research by Joshua Azizi, and myself, Alex DeBoer. Editing and production by Alex DeBoer. The backing track in this story is Focus by AA Alto.